Hi, I'm Michael. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the missions director. As a church, we are committed to answer God's call to reach every nation. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
We are on week three of our series, Future Hope. We're in the book of Thessalonians, and today we're reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, standing fast even in difficult times. Let's read the Word of God, starting with verse 1. It says, "Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. That no one be moved by this afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for the fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? As we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our Lord and Father, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all of us as we do for you. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Lord, we pray. Lord, let your word sink deep in our hearts. Lord, continue to bring hope to us. Lord, may we continue to find peace and hope in you every day of our lives, even in the midst of this greatest test the world is facing today. May faith always be stirred up and rising up in us to trust you and to follow you for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask a question. Obviously, I can't wait for an answer because we're doing this virtually. But I have a question I want us to think through and answer on your own. And the question is this: what is your favorite scripture today? Was this scripture a recent choice? Was this scripture a COVID pandemic choice? Was this a desperate need choice? I really hope you have scriptures and verses to stand on, to believe for, and to pray with. I asked the question because just the other day, as I was working on this, I was flicking through some things, and I found this list, and it said emergency Bible numbers. And the list looks like a list of emergency phone numbers that people would post on the side near their telephone or put somewhere in their building or somewhere in their home. And the list would include emergency numbers for the police station and emergency numbers for the nearest hospital, emergency numbers for if you're in whatever your 911 number is in your local situation, emergency number for the ambulance in a blank space, or emergency numbers for important contacts that you have. And because this was emergency Bible numbers, it had on this list in question marks, in a sense asking the question, are you upset? And written on the number is John 14. Then there was also, are you weak? Psalm 18 verses 1 to 29. Are you lonely? Then there's Psalm 23. Included in this list was, are you unhappy? Are you depressed? Are you in a lack of faith, or do you need courage, or other things. And they had different scriptures. And this is a blessing because it reminds you and it can point you to different scriptures in your time and need. But it also sends an incomplete message, and it can encourage a problematic perspective. Because scriptures are not just there for your time of need. In fact, if the only time you read scripture and meditate on scripture, or think about scripture, is when you're in need, and all you read is the scripture pertaining to your need, you may end up missing so much of what God has set aside for you, prepared for you, and so much of what God wants for your life. It is our hope, it is our prayer that we read and meditate on the whole world, the whole Word of God, even a step at a time, or even by small snippets at a time, continuously until the Word fills our heart and our minds. I would like to encourage everyone to read and meditate on the Word of God as much as you can, as consistently as you can. I'd like to appeal to everyone, please do not treat scripture like a menu or like a list of choices that you can pick whatever you fancy whenever you fancy it. Instead, read the whole Bible a little bit at a time, as much as you can and as often as you can. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. And obviously, 1 Thessalonians was the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. When the Apostle Paul went there, Paul and Silas went there, which you'll find in Acts chapter 17, they obviously preached the word, and eventually a church was planted because people responded to the gospel of Christ. People encountered Christ and turned to him. This obviously created some problems, and eventually Paul and the church were accused of declaring a different Lord because they were following a different Lord and, in a sense, a different law. Because of this, they were accused of being unfaithful and loyal to Caesar or to the government of their day. The Jews created trouble for Paul as well because the Jews did like what the Apostle Paul and Silas were doing, so they persecuted the church. So persecution was so bad that Paul and Silas had to leave. This created Paul's concern for the church he planted and the church he obviously loved, the church he poured out his life to. He wanted to find out what was happening with the church. See, the church was in persecution. The Apostle Paul left during the persecution. And I could imagine his great concern. What will happen to the church? A very young church now is being persecuted. So eventually Paul sent Timothy to the Thessalonians to find out how they're doing, and especially to exhort them and to encourage them in their faith. And when Timothy finally returned to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul was so surprised to find out, so excited, so encouraged to find out that the Thessalonians were thriving and growing and not giving up. They're doing great. The church was moving along, and they were not getting destroyed. So the question is, how did the Thessalonian church continue to grow and thrive even in the midst of persecution? So how can we, or how can a church, how can Christians grow even in the midst of persecution? How can we thrive in the midst of trials and tests and challenges? Let's look at the truth the Apostle Paul endeavored to establish in the lives of the Thessalonians. And the first one we'd like to look at is this. The first thing the Apostle Paul, one of the things the Apostle Paul did was to show them that trials are sure to come. Trials It's not a question of whether you will go through trials or not. The question is, when will the trials come? Because the Apostle Paul said it's definitely coming. Verse 1, therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind in Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions, by these persecutions, by this test, this hardship. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. In a sense, we're created for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for the fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Part of Paul's teaching, part of Paul's preparation for the church in Thessalonica or the Thessalonians was to teach them and show to them that persecution is inevitable. It will come. See, when you commit to Christ, you're committing to a new Lord. And the lords of this world will not take it sitting down. They don't want you following someone else. They want your allegiance. And when your allegiance changes to Christ, they will challenge you. They will persecute you. Their relationship with Christ was establishing a new Lord, and it was not acceptable to their world. Isn't this true today as well? Maybe, especially in the Philippines, the persecution is not like, it's not a life and death situation. But aren't we challenged as well when we decide to follow the Lord Jesus Christ instead of our previous lords? Isn't it true that sometimes, even at work or even in our business, we are challenged when we decide to follow Jesus as Lord and live by His word? Don't we get challenged by others that saying that, hey, you don't have to be that strict. Why be so old-fashioned? These things are acceptable. This is not evil. We get challenged. We get pushed to decide who our real Lord is. When someone follows the call of God in our world, when friends who don't know Christ and even family members who don't know Christ hear about someone who gave their life to Christ and now wants to serve God in a vocational call, aren't they being challenged as well and being told that, hey, you can serve God, you can serve, do good, you can do many things as you serve God and serve other things and serve your family or make money at the same time. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not against making money. But the question is, who's your Lord? When you follow a different Lord, when you follow the real Lord, the lords of this world will question you, will persecute you. And the Apostle Paul as well mentions that there's a tempter who always wants to destroy what God builds. God is building things in our lives. He's building our hearts. He's building our minds. He's transforming our lives, making the image of Christ more and more real in us. And the tempter wants to destroy it. He will attack. He will not take it sitting down. You, your transformation, your passion for Christ is a threat to the enemy. And he will challenge you and persecute you. The Apostle Paul took the time to teach the Thessalonians that persecution is coming because now they're following the real Lord, Jesus himself. Secondly, faith is the deciding factor. Faith is mentioned 5 times in our text. So let's take a look at them. The first one is in verse 2. We sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. They sent Timothy to establish and exhort them in their faith. Notice the concern was not to stop the trials or to run away and protect yourselves from trials and persecution. The concern was that they stand and persevere in faith. The concern was the condition of their faith. Verse 5, I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you. The Thessalonians already had faith. That is why they ended up with the church there. They responded to the gospel, to Christ in faith. Now, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of the trial, what is the temperature of their faith? Is the passion for God still there? Are they just surviving, or are they pressing on towards God? Pressing on towards the purpose of God, pressing on with the mission of God in their hearts, with the love of God and the love for the rest of the world in their hearts. Is the joy of the Lord still their strength? Then verse 6, Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love. The good news had nothing to do with the intensity of the persecution, the difficulty, or the trials. The good news was their faith and love. The condition of their faith, the temperature of their faith declared to Paul that they're in a good, that they're in a good place, they're in good standing, they're not giving up, they're not throwing the towel. They will conquer and they will persevere. Verse 7, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. Even Paul was comforted in his own persecution because his brothers were conquering, thriving, and growing in their own trials. Their faith did not just bless them, it blessed Paul and many others. When the Apostle Paul found out that they were thriving, that their faith was growing, it wasn't getting destroyed, the Apostle Paul was so blessed and so encouraged. He got excited. In a world where faith is in question, or where lack of faith is all over, your faith can really be a lifesaver and a blessing to others. Your faith does not just affect you, it affects others as well. In fact, your faith could be the very thing that can help others discover and pursue God even more. Verse 10, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. They had amazing faith, so amazing they were persevering, they were passionate, they were loving despite all. Yet the Apostle Paul said, we're praying for you night and day, continuing, looking forward to seeing you that we may supply what is lacking in your faith. In other words, the Apostle Paul was praying and interceding and looking forward to the time where he could be there so that he could help them see their faith grow and keep growing. Friends, your faith has to grow. That is why just getting specific verses for different challenges may inspire and comfort us. But friends, it takes the Word of God and more of the Word of God and consistently the Word of God being placed in our hearts to stir faith and cause our faith to grow. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's what the Scripture says. So let me encourage you to keep reading the Word of God as often as you can, as consistently as you can. Friends, let your faith grow even in the midst of this crisis. Today, I want to ask another question that I want us to think through. And the question is this: have you been growing more and more in faith, or have you been getting more and more fearful? Friends, I encourage you, read, meditate, and pray the Word of God as often as you can, as consistently as you can. Lastly, pray for each other. Pray for each other. Now may our God, verse 11, and Father Himself and the Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another, for all, as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. Paul was excited, he's grateful, he's hopeful. The Thessalonians are doing great, they're thriving, they're growing, they're not going to quit. They're going to conquer, they're going to be persevered, they're full of love for others and full of love for God, they're full of faith in God. Yet the Apostle Paul continues to pray for them. Continues to pray for their present situation, their situation in the midst of persecution, and continues to pray for their future in God. He prays for God's best and the fulfillment of God's will for them. Friends, when you are persecuted, pray for others. It will bless and strengthen you. The Apostle Paul was talking about his own persecution and his own struggles, yet he kept praying for them. And in the midst of that prayer, he gets encouraged and he gets blessed as well. When others are persecuted, pray for them. It will bless them and it will bless you. The Apostle Paul's joy was to see as well God answering his prayers for the Thessalonians because he kept praying for them. Friends, we are in a world that's facing a lot of challenges and difficulties. And one of the things we can do to help each other is to pray for each other and pray with each other as well. Faith in God brings real hope in any situation. I pray that we will not only get hope from God, but that God will use us as His instruments of hope, to declare hope, to preach hope, and to show real hope to a world that's hopeless today. Let us pray. Lord, I pray, Lord God, for everyone in this church. I pray, Lord God, that you would, Lord God, infuse your hope in us, Lord. Lord, let your word so fill our hearts and our minds that we will be a people that will not be stopped by challenges and affliction. But we will be a people that will embrace faith, move forward in faith, and live by faith in you. Lord, I pray, Lord God, as you bring hope to us, I pray that you would raise us up as your mouthpiece, as your preachers, as your teachers, as your instruments of hope in a world that's struggling with hopelessness today. Let real hope in you be heard, be experienced, and be discovered in our world today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.